On ABC Radio Canberra, this is Laura Chilingirian. Drive.
Imagine making a huge discovery in your field of expertise and just how satisfying that might be. And that's exactly what's happened to Dr. Catherine Freeman in England. She's an archaeologist from the ANU who recently excavated an ancient burial mound or a barrow near the town of Loo in southeast Cornwall. And Dr. Freeman is with me in the studio to tell you all about it. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Laura.
So what made you decide to excavate at this site in particular?
It was a combination of things. So any excavation doesn't just happen. You don't just rock up and stick a shovel in the ground, or at least you shouldn't. We had been at the site as part of an ongoing project that's been going on since 2012 in July 2017, and we did geophysics there, subsurface survey. So we used magnetometry to look below the earth and see if there was anything down there. And we found evidence for what looked like a barrow, what we'd say a negative feature, so something that had been dug into it, and it was the right shape and the right size and the right kind of location. And so we went to investigate and see if it definitely was and to see how well preserved it was and what was there.
Can you describe to me what a burial mound or a barrow looks like, just how big it is?
I mean, it depends on the barrow.
Right.
There are small ones that are about 10 meters across, very low rounds of earth over it, maybe half a meter high at the highest. There are very large ones that are tens of meters across. Some of them have ditches around them. Sometimes the ditches are deep. Sometimes the ditches are shallow. Some of them are in the area of Stonehenge, although not where I work. Some of them are called pond barrows, and they're actually a depression, a dug down depression within a ditch. So it's quite a variable thing.
So some are more obvious
to
the naked eye than others.
Yeah.
So how untouched was this particular mound?
Well, I mean, it had been ploughed. There isn't anything obvious. The tenant farmer who has been farming the land for quite a while swears that he can see a ridge in the field where the aerial photography that originally suggested there might be something there said there was a barrow, but I couldn't see anything. It's flat and flush with the surface. So on the one hand, not at all well preserved. Any mound or covering area is gone. On the other hand, when we opened it up, because it had been so heavily plowed down, we really didn't know whether there'd be anything there. You know, if we'd find a ditch, but maybe it would be 10 centimeters deep, just the very bottom of one. And actually what we found was it was beautifully preserved under the ground.
Well, it's hard to imagine that being plowed so much, nothing was discovered before now.
It's a little bit of magic.
Yeah, and lucky for you too.
Yeah, so, I mean, archaeology is like that. Sometimes things are very well preserved. Sometimes a stone is in the right place. Sometimes the plow just doesn't dig in. Actually, the center of the barrow where we found quite a beautiful Bronze Age burial was the shallowest part. It was only 25 centimeters under the modern ground surface.
Wow, so 25 centimeters.
Exactly.
So you dig that with a little shovel.
I mean, we dug it with a machine and some shovels, but but yeah, it's not deep. And we do know that it was plowed in living memory. It's not currently. It's being run with sheep and has been for a number of years at the moment. But we know it was plowed in living memory because the older gentleman who drove the digger that we took the topsoil off with had a yarn to us while we were there about how when he was a lad, his father was the tenant farmer and he was the one who ploughed this field, amongst others.
My guest here on ABC Radio Canberra Drive is Dr. Catherine Freeman from the ANU School of Archaeology and Anthropology, who spent, I think, for 14 days at a dig site in Loo in southeast Cornwall over Easter and excavated an ancient burial mound. So tell me more about what you found.
Well, so when we opened it up, what we were looking for, we knew from the geophysics that there was some sort of ditch, and we knew that there were some negative features, things like pits in the middle. And we tried to position our trench with GPS so that it would catch at least one of those potential pits because we thought this could be a burial. And then there were a few other kind of splodgy features in the geophysics that we didn't really know what they were. So we found the ditch very rapidly. It showed up very quickly, very dark topsoil, so it showed up very different from the natural shale in which it had been dug. And that turned out to be a beautiful ditch about 1 meter deep, so really, really well preserved, quite deep and beautifully cut, very evenly cut into quite difficult, shaley, kind of fragile, falling apart sort of soil. And then we also found the central burial feature for that, which did show up on our geophysics and which was a beautiful, intact Bronze Age pot with a cremation within it. We also found that some of our splodgy features, the things that we weren't sure what they were, at least one of them was also archaeology. Another one was geology, which happens. And I'm not a geologist, so I'm not excited by that. One of them was archaeology, and it was quite weird archaeology because it was medieval, 12th, 13th century AD, right in the middle of our Bronze Age barrow.
So what does that tell you?
We're not really sure, actually. That's one of our big kind of ongoing research questions is, what on earth?
What under earth?
Yeah, right. Or what under earth, exactly. No, what happens with archaeology a lot is that you never quite know what you're going to find until you find it. And the actual archaeology in the ground sometimes confounds your expectations. So we had this beautiful Bronze Age site that is a beautiful Bronze Age site. And then there's a very strange medieval pit right in the middle of it. And we're just not sure what's going on. That's something we're really looking into moving forward with this project.
Now, I understand you also excavated a roundhouse. What is a roundhouse and what did you find there?
Okay, so while we were digging, we decided to expand the geophysics. So when we'd run the geophysics over the barrow in the summer of last year, the Northern Hemisphere summer of last year, we focused very tightly on where crop marks suggested there was an archaeological feature, which turned out to be this barrow. But we figured we're in this field, we might as well do the rest of the field and see if there's anything there that we've missed, whether it's one barrow amongst many, or whether it really is as isolated as the aerial photographs made it seem. And we found that it is actually very isolated, except that there's a smaller circular feature, a little bit closer to the cliff side, and that was about the right size, about 6 to 8 meters across, that it looked like it might be a roundhouse. Now, a roundhouse is exactly what it sounds like. It's a house that is round.
Right.
usually they're prehistoric, so anywhere in Cornwall from about 2000 BC to about 500 AD. It's a very long-lived building style. But because this one was isolated because of the size of it, we thought, oh, it could be Iron Age, maybe second half of the first millennium BC. So we put a little pit over it to see if we could see, you know, how deep it was, how well preserved it was, and whether we could find anything. And I have to give a shout out to my PhD student, Emma Biggs, who actually did that one, because she did a really good work on a really hard feature because it was not well preserved.
But that must be so exciting as a PhD student to experience something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think. And she did a great job on it, which was really nice to see. But she excavated a little 2-meter by 2-meter trench over where we spotted the edge of this roundhouse, found that, yes, indeed, there is the edge of a roundhouse. But in this case, the ditch, it wasn't a foundation ditch. It wasn't for putting posts in or stakes in. We think it was what we call a drip gully, which is quite literally water comes off of the roof of the roundhouse and drips around it and makes a little ditch.
Oh, okay.
So it was about 10 centimeters deep and had nothing at all in it. And she did most of the excavation in pretty rainy weather. So we're still not really sure what the date of it is. We still think probably Iron Age because of its position and because of its isolation. But it could be anything from kind of the same age of the barrow to 3,000 years more recent.
How much does wet weather help or hinder something like this?
Well, it doesn't make it more fun.
No.
But, you know, doing field work in Britain, you learn to do work in the rain. Sometimes you have to stop, not necessarily because you're too wet, but because the ground is too wet and you could start damaging the archaeology. But that's more if there's kind of persistent rain or if you're working in a very muddy area or a very clayey area where water collects. If you've got pretty well-drained soils, which we pretty much did, we just worked through the rain. You just have good waterproofs and wear your gumboots.
You're listening to ABC Radio Canberra Drive in a nice dry studio in Dixon. Laura Chilingirian here with you, and I've got Dr. Catherine Freeman here with me in the studio, ANU School of Archaeology and Anthropology, talking about her recent discovery in England, in southeast Cornwall over Easter, of a local burial mound, and there was a burial urn that was found inside it along with a number of other things. How much can you learn from the items that you've discovered?
So it kind of depends what you get in a field season. And what we've got is some pottery, some stone tools, the intact central pot and the cremation that was in it. And all of those can give us different amounts of information. So the pottery, we can start talking about where the clay came from. And we do have a local ceramic specialist in Cornwall. Archaeology, I should say, and I keep saying this to people, archaeology is a team sport. It's not something that one person does.
Yeah.
So we have ceramic specialists who are looking at the pottery and really getting a sense of how they relate to other forms of pottery, whether they're produced locally from local clay sources or whether they're imported in from other places. We have a human osteologist who's looking at the bones, and she'll be going through that cremation and trying to assess anything she can about whether it's possible, because sometimes if the cremated remains are large enough, you can see things like the sex of the body or its
age. Really? Because I was wondering that, because if it's cremated, what is there to learn from it?
They're not cremated to contemporary cremation standards.
Sure, okay.
So, in prehistory, they were usually bonfire cremations, which means that there are larger chunks of bone.
Enjoy your dinner, everyone.
Sorry. Archaeologists think this is really interesting.
Yeah, it is.
So there are larger chunks of bone, which give us more information to start talking about if there are bones that can tell us about the sex or the age of the individual who is cremated, or individuals, if we can tell if there's more than one. Usually it's just one, but that's not always true.
How much is known about the sorts of people who were put into these burial mounds?
So this is early Bronze Age Britain, and early Bronze Age Britain is probably one of the most studied periods in British archaeology. So quite a lot is known. There does seem to be a certain amount of regional variability. But we know about individuals because we have beautiful inhumations from other parts of Britain. In Cornwall, the soil is too acidic. So anyone who was buried as an inhumation, not being burnt, their body wouldn't be preserved for us to look at. So all we have are cremated remains in Cornwall.
Not even bones.
Especially not bones, organics.
Really?
So anything organic just dissolves.
Huh.
It's gone.
So we've learned something new every day.
We've got cremated bone, but not inhumed bone, not unburnt bone. But in places where you have unburnt bone, you have a lot more information clearly about the individual, where they're from, what their age is, what their sex is.
Would there be an understanding of what sort of status in society that they were if they were cremated?
I think it depends on the archaeologist how you interpret that.
Sure.
I think there are some people who suggest that anyone buried in the center of a barrow is automatically a high status individual. What that means in terms of status, whether you're talking about local chiefs or whether you're talking about family leaders or important members of your kin group or people who are ritually significant, I think that depends on the archaeologist and what they want to say. I have my own opinions, but we haven't analyzed this one yet, so I don't want to. Okay. I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Sure. So, what happens now with what you've excavated, Dr. Freeman? How long does it take to analyze this find?
Well, it takes really as long as we want it to take. We're planning to have the full post-excavation report out in the next 12 months or so, which I think is a pretty good turnaround. But we've got the ceramic that needs to go out to the ceramic specialist, and the human osteologist needs to go through the bones. We need to see if any of the bone is large enough and burnt enough to be datable, if we can run it through radiocarbon, whether we can do any isotopic studies of any of the bone. If we have any teeth, we might be able to look at the isotopes in the teeth to learn more about the diet or the person who is cremated, where they were born, where they grew up. We are going to be looking at the stone tools, or I'm going to be looking at the stone tools. I have them in my office right now.
Gee,
it's kind
really?
Of next week's job.
Okay.
and we've got some bits of pottery that we're going to be sending out to specialists for what we'd say destructive analysis, to have a look at if we can tell if there was food prepared in them and what that food was.
Well, really interesting stuff. Thank you for coming in and sharing your find with us.
It's my pleasure.
Dr. Catherine Freeman there from the ANU School of Archaeology and Anthropology on her discovery in this burial mound in southeast Cornwall.